Fáilte, fáilte, gead daine go dtí an díal de bét le me sé brennan ó daine an seo a Highland Radio. That was a Game of Thrones there. We're going to come to that in a minute. Parry Hall for his look at me. A bit bemused here, as is Joe Dex. That was from the Halloween period there. We had a wee weekend off. Thanks for joining us again. I want to thank, of course, Don Marie for the news, the legendary Ivan Borland for the Power Hour Plus. Coming up on the show this evening, we're going to look back at all the club action from the weekend. Also, club action, Bert Hurlers with a win in the Junior Championship, St Eunan's with a defeat in the Intermediate. We're going to hear from their manager in a bit. Cairn Footballers in the Junior Championship also defeat, a very narrow defeat to a very fancied Emmyvale side. Our own Parry Kilfordie was down at that in Clonus. He'll be joining us to give us all the updates on that. We'll hear what his views on that. We'll look ahead, of course, to Niamh Connell and Niamh Columba, who are out in action next weekend in the Intermediate and Senior competitions. Our Under-21 Championship is going good guns. We'll look across a couple of games in that. We'll also speak later in the show to Michael McMullen on the Ulster Club Championship and all the GNUs of the North West, including Murray Kavanagh, has departed from Glen Mahara. But we start the show with a bit of sad news. The death of Nudie Hughes, Monaghan legend. He had a battle with cancer, which he fought bravely since 2018. So very hard to hear the news about Nudie. Tough stuff for him and his family and everybody that knew him. Also Barney McMonigal, a huge GA man, a huge servant of GA at St Eunan's, some 50 years groundsman at St Eunan's, and one of those friendly faces you always seen about O'Donnell Park, and indeed at many GA matches. What a nice man and what a servant he was to the GA and to the family. Sorely missed. And you know, I was just looking at Nudie Hughes. I'm fortunate enough to have met Nudie quite a few times. Got to know him. He used to do bits and pieces of co-com. Three-time All-Star. One of the very few back in the times when you had a position and as a definitive position in the pitch. And he did it at forward and defence, which was very unusual. Three Ulster titles and a National League as well, Parik. And listen,
aye,
legend of a man just. And listen, he'd be sorely missed. Great guy. And listen, outside of his football talent, he's one of them guys just very warm and engaging. Had a great story, but never say pushed his greatness on you. Do you know what I mean? He was very humble, but he always had a good yarn.
We're blessed to meet him in the commentary box down through the years, and interviewing Nudie and having the crack with him before, as you indicated, he was just so much fun to be around, and a real nice gentleman. And thoughts and prayers goes out to his family at present, you know. But what an individual, what a story, and from the point of view, as you indicated, his career in football. But as I say, I was actually looking back today on some of the stuff I would have done with Nudie, you know, just before Donegal and Monaghan were a big thing in 2016-14, and those rivalry games, Ulster finals, you should say. And just as I say, the punditry work that he did as well, he was very, he had that flair, Brendan, as well. He brought a bit of life to commentary, and just you know, behind it all as well, a fantastic individual, as you've indicated.
Yeah. Yep, top man. Sorry, it'll be sorely missed, Nudie. I played a Game of Thrones coming in there at the start there, Park. Mm. I ended up having to go Khal Drogo. Not everybody maybe knows Game of Thrones. I actually had to go topless there in the Letterkenny Shopping Centre on Friday, which took a wee bit of guts, say. My wife talked me into it. Now, we did win a competition, so fell down the trash. I forget, I was dressed up. It's a couple of times now, but kids are probably looking to be a wee bit crazy. Who's this crazy man here with a sword? I looked a bit dangerous with the makeup on and that.
Well, I had no doubt in my mind that you would have pulled it off. You know, I've seen there was a couple of beautiful images floating around.
Yeah, well, the three wee boys was the dragons in there. So listen, all is well that ends well, and we might bow out now.
Well, look, you know, after the images I seen, the physique of you.
There was a tight kind of belt thing on it, kept me right. I'll be honest, hey, Joe Dex is laughing here. Joe doesn't have to worry about that slim gin. Joe's producing here as ever, good man, Joe. Listen, Park, you headed to Clonus. This Emmyvale team, they've done well in this competition on previous occasions. They're one of the teams would have been favoured for it. But you know, I just listened to your roundup at the end of the match. Like, it came right down to the wire, and a bit of controversy at the end as well. But certainly, Kieran Donagh, you know, we were looking for that Niamh Patrick run potentially, but this was always going to be one of the biggest games in it from the get go, away from home. Down in Clonus, say, against a very talented Emmyvale team.
Yeah, absolutely. And suppose Emmyvale, you've indicated, very, very talented, you know, but Kieran Donagh, to a man, they really went after them, you know. And suppose there was patterns of that particular game where you looked like, oh, Emmyvale are going to go, you know, they look like they're going to push on, and but they never really did. They were never really allowed. And suppose Kieran Donagh, you know, they just hung in there. And there was an aspect of really tit for tat throughout the game. So you know, Kieran Donagh would score a point, Emmyvale would go back up and they would score a point. So there was that throughout the match. It was end to end, really, you know. And suppose you know, going at half time, Kieran were a point down. They started off the brightest. They were three up, and suppose Emmyvale came back. And Emmyvale, you know, the talk of Emmyvale down there, managed by Owen Lennon, and as I say, you know, they have good pedigree. A number of players played inter-county as well, but Kieran Donagh to a man, like, they fought really, really impressive throughout that particular encounter. Big calls by the referee, Brendan, at the end. You know, I was just thinking about this today. You'd like to see them back, you know. I think the last passage of play was a sideline ball came in from one of the Emmyvale half forwards. I think it was David Duffy. He kicked it in. Conor O'Donnell got up, and Conor, doing what he's been doing throughout the year, got up highest, got the ball, and to me, like, it kind of maybe it looked like he tried to get it out, and the referee indicated that he threw it. Huge call at that particular stage.
Why do you think there was, like, a tough call? You know, whether you think it or not, to decide a game of that magnitude at that time. I mean, I know people say, right, a ref has to trust his instincts and go within that, but, you know, can he be 100% sure that was a throw ball? I mean, for Conor to do something like that, I mean, you're not going to risk that as a player. Now, sometimes your momentum, you kind of swing, don't you?
Yeah.
There is a wee bit of a throw action with the ball. I mean, a few times the GAA have tried to kind of come up with ways, you know, the hand pass, the flick, and they cut all that out because they didn't want that kind of false hand pass. But that type of momentum, sometimes you are kind of throwing it as you pass it, obviously, you know.
Aye, and that was it, I suppose. And, you know, from where I was sitting, you know, that's what initially I thought straight away, you know. But, you know, it was just such a way to go out of the Ulster Club Championship that particular way there, you know. But Kieran, to their credit, you know, they battled really hard. The second half they came out, you know, I suppose it was, again, Emmyvale went 2 points ahead, but Kieran, a black card to the cornerback, Andrew Stewart. He went off. He was, I suppose, you know, Conor Donald was getting a little bit of extra treatment. So a black card down to 14. I suppose that's where Kieran will be looking back on it. And they thought maybe they could have, maybe, and they should have, you know, used that. But as Michael indicated to me yesterday, it doesn't always materialise like that, you know. And suppose the 10 minutes, they brought themselves right back in it. Fergal Doherty kicking a point after into the second half. Donald Doherty, Kane Doherty as well. And you know, there was, suppose, that penalty as well. If we reflect back on that particular, a shot came in from, I think it was Kane Burke, and he was outside the penalty. Obviously, his shot was outside the penalty area, but the defender was standing in, and it was for a foot block. And I thought it was a little bit of a bizarre decision as well now, but I'd have to, again, look back on it. Kieran Donagh got a penalty out of it, and at that stage, they were up a point to a good, but look, Emmyvale showed why there's big talk of them in Monaghan. Brendan, Niall McKenna, for me, was outstanding, wearing number 13. You know, the movement from himself and, you know, Ali Stewart at midfield, like, you know, the full forward line for Emmyvale, you could see there was a lot of pedigree there. But Kieran Donagh, to their credit, they battled really, really hard. And look, Michael O'Donnell, their banished door, having a chat with him, you know, and he was so disappointed, but proud in a way,
We have that piece, Park. We'll listen to a bit of it now, actually, because I just, out of respect to Kieran, because from the year before, very well beaten by Niamh Patrick in the final, so they really regrouped and came back like a real force. And, like, as I say, Emmyvale, one of the favourites for it. So away from home, you know, desperately close, but couple of words. You caught up with Michael yesterday. We'll hear from him here.
We're definitely disappointed. You know, that is the as we're coming off the pitch, that's the thing that I said to the lads. You know, as you walk off, you hold your head high because we performed really well on the day. You know, against a really good Emmyvale team too. But our performance was good. And you know, it's small margins at the end of the game. I thought we were about to go in the attack, and you know, there's a free kick given the other way, and that's what's decided the game.
Really small margins, because throughout today's game it was one of those that was point for point. You know, it was really, no team could really get ahead at any particular stage, you know, but you started the brighter in the first opening half. You got a couple of scores and really asked a lot of questions of that Emmyvale side.
Yeah, and that was the start of the game, but the whole game was probably a bit like that. It was, you know, a bit of back and forth, and it was, you know, it was two good teams, I think, you know, that were kind of going at each other. And again, unfortunately for us, we're disappointed because, you know, you come here with the intention of, if the focus is on winning, that's what you always want to do, and so that's the disappointment.
It was a 1-point game at half time, and suppose you've indicated that it was just tit for tat, but in the second half, suppose Emmyvale went down a player, and suppose that one passage of play that you couldn't really you couldn't really get as much as you'd like out of that 10 minutes when they were down a player.
Yeah, they probably, and again, they're a good side, so they probably managed to keep the ball for a few minutes, and that's, you know, when we were trying to put a bit of pressure on them, and maybe struggled a wee bit to do that. Yeah, of course, you'd like to maybe make more of those moments, but there's no guarantee.
Yeah, disappointed, Michael O'Donnell there indeed. And you know, listen, still champions going up the intermediate next year. We wish Cairn Donagh well. I say, I was out at the park watching St Union's against Aero Coach, and Union's lost the senior final, but because Satanta had won the intermediate previously, they went up to senior. So St Union's are playing Aero Carrigmore, who 6-time champions in Tyrone. And listen, St Union's certainly gave it their all. You could see Carrigmore, probably a better side overall, but there was a tremendous amount of guts. I think just before half time, the sides was level, but just a couple of minutes ago, you had a couple of late points. I think it was 1-6. Carrigmore hit in that period when they went into domination. The couple of points that St Union's really took over, and St Union's fought back then, come back within a couple of scores. Carrigmore kicked on again. So listen, a lot of guts from them. Chris McCauley in there this year. Listen, we got a couple of words with him after the match. Chris Ashmore was there covering it for Highland.
Disappointing. It's been very good up until that stage. I think during the 50th minute we had massive opportunities to come into the game and take the lead, and we just didn't do it. And you get punished by that. You get punished by players with the quality they have. I mean, they've so many inter-county players spread out, like 6 championships in a row they've won on Tyrone. We were coming into this year, we felt we were in a good place. They just got the run on us near the end, and you know, they came out worthy winners, and best of luck to them in the next round.
Yeah, just a couple of points between you at half time. You started the second half well, and that first goal though in a game like this was always going to be crucial.
Yeah, it was very similar to the county final here. So it was whenever, you know, Satanta scored quite late. It's so pivotal in the game. Whenever you're getting that goal at the very end, it kind of just really hurts. So yeah, very, very similar, but I thought we came back into it well. We dug in, we rallied, but I think just from the 50th minute on, I think we just lost our way a wee bit. We had opportunities we just didn't take, and that you get killed at this level whenever you're not taking them.
So that brings the curtain down on the season.
Yeah, it's been my first year in Donegal. It's been my first year with hurling in Donegal, and pleasantly surprised, you know, and I think we're in a good place. What we do moving forward is entirely up to, you know, having a conversation with the club and having a conversation with the players and reflecting maybe on the season that's went past. I'm happy to, you know, to stay and to come down and keep working with the guys, because they're a fantastic group of players. We've built 2 squads there. There's been a lot of really, really positive work done. Under 21s are in the county final. Intermediate team won the championship, and we were beaten the county final. So, you know, there's a lot of positives, but yeah, it's going to be a bit of a short winter and then back into pre-season potentially.
And maybe in the end, that 6 points, the deficit, perhaps a little bit flattering to them, because you ran them close for much of the game.
Well, I think it's kind of showing, you know, in Donegal, there's really fantastic, there is good hurling, and there's good hurlers in Donegal. Today, they got a run on us. Was there much between the teams? I don't think there was. Potentially, I think they moved the ball a little better than us today, but I don't think there was that much between the 2 teams at all. You're correct in saying that.
Yep, thanks, Chris Ashmore there, covering the game. And well done to Chris McCauley, because I could see a huge difference in Unions from last year to this year. And that's what your job is as a manager, improve the team. And as you mentioned, a lot of hurling teams going well, but certainly the senior team, you know, you look at how close they ran Setanta and where they got to in terms of up to that level, because everyone, I suppose, in Donegal is getting to the Setanta level, always the team to beat, and Unions came mighty close to doing that. Park, under 21 championships going good guns there the weekend. The men from Glen Swilly digging out another big victory against Sean McCool's. Gidor and Unions drew. Four Masters had a big a victory over a Rua. Niamh Connell beating Dunlow as well. And, you know, group stages of the under 21s were down. There's one more game to go in the groups, Park. So it's starting to take shape there. And, you know, a lot of good things happening there with clubs and underage. We seem to be seeing a lot there, you know, particularly obviously been 0-4 Mass, but certainly Glen Swilly.
Yeah, absolutely. Glen Swilly, you know, I suppose like a 1-point victory for them against McCool's. And suppose even you look at Glen Swilly, they were in the minor final last weekend. You know, and they've been in the under 21 final last year, lost one player from that particular squad. You know, this batch of players that are coming through, they're putting in big performances, you know, and they've a couple of notable gentlemen on the line as well, you know, you know, that of course brings a lot of experience, and when you have that experience and, you know, the encouragement from your peers, if you want to call it, they've been there, done
that.
It's very important, and I suppose, you know, Glen Swilly, they'll be very happy heading to the Burn Road this weekend.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Burn Road now, Park, you're smiling because this is the Lions' Den, is it?
rekindling it all. Ach, no, look, as I say.
There's a healthy rivalry there, is, I indeed, think, the clubs. Listen, I think now, from where it used to be years ago, you know, I think the rivalry be young boys now coming through, it's more, listen, it's still obviously there, but I don't see it ever getting kind of heated the way it does. You know, we just want to see the best of the championship get stuck in. There's no need for anything else. You know, I think that's changing a lot in football. I think because players are so well coached now, and systems mean that you're not really up close and personal. Like, some people are different parts of the pitch and that, but by and large, most players are dropping off, you know, and then you'll get your coming together at times, and that's where the bit of heat will come into it then, you know, which way, part of our game.
You know, as I say, like, you were referencing St. Unions and the hurling there, you know, managers improve the players, you know, and that's what every coach is trying to do every night, is improve them, like, you know, and smart footballers, they're all, I suppose, when you look at a player now, it's like he stepped off Baywatch there, he's just six, but yeah. not serious, like, even looking at the junior footballers yesterday, the athleticism of them all now, you know, they're just so, you know, they've got athleticism, you know, that maybe, not say you, but me, maybe
funny that they've come up. I was driving along, wee memories come up your head. I landed back for pre-season with Van Herbs, and Donal O'Brien caught a glimpse of me, and he's like, "What are you going to call it?" As if I had a bun in the oven, you know. And I was laughing away to myself, Donal O'Brien, Dub, he was a queer character, but I thought to myself, you land back for pre-season, you were out of shape.
There is no out of shape. And like, just reflecting on, I suppose, you know, when you look at Terman for Masters, and you look at Niamh Connell, and you look at Glen Swilly, there's maybe 11 or 12 from under 21s have been playing all year nearly, and then they go into, you know, into college football, and like, college football was a bit of crack for America. But you know, it's eating on. But look, the games, 2:15 to 2:14 was the game, you know, against McCool's and Glen Swilly, just, you know, end to end, really great game of football. And as I say, look, both sides, I suppose from a Glen Swilly point of view, you know, they'll be looking to get back into that final once again. And for Masters, the same. You referenced Niamh Connell also, you know, and I suppose Niamh Connell, we know what they're all about. They do have a big game this weekend, so, you know, there are probably a number of players that might not play over the weekend.
It's a juggling act for those Ulster teams, I suppose, now, Park, in terms of, you know, even this morning, actually, I spoke to Greg about that. Your top under 21 players, they're probably the players are getting pulled the most between colleges, club, underage, senior. And if you've had a successful year, it's a lot. Now, when you were that age, you wanted to play. But sometimes they need to be protected. But it's a difficult one, though, because everybody needs their own players. You know, they want their own best teams out.
But I think, look, you know, down through the years, you would have came across that there, you know, but...
Do you think
there is too much demand?
Do you think we need a group stage in under 21s? Would it not be better home and away, maybe playing it out the old format of the senior. I know I'm always talking about that, but I think it still gives you a chance of a home and away game, and then let it roll from there. It's maybe a lot, particularly with the weather turning to be going on the group stages with under 21s.
No, and conditions, you know, just aren't where they should be. That's the way it is. Like, but no, you're dead right. And suppose the Dr. McKenna Cup is back as well. You know, So if any of these young lads are, you know, making into gym squad, or you know, there's potentially one or two of them. I don't know the spread of players. If there's that many, there's a few. There's one or two from Terme, maybe one. I don't know with Glenn Swally, but you know, you're looking at that as well. And Some of those managers as such have to deal with maybe a lad away training with the county as well during that time.
Talking about underage, the All Conquer and Four Masters are playing Dungiven in the Ulster Club competition. And, you know, you would think, you know, it's funny when you go out then because they've been so devastating here in Donegal. You know, you're obviously behind them now. You want them to go on and kind of make their mark in the Ulster competition.
I was doing the final Four Masters against Glenn Swally, and They're a phenomenal outfit, you know, Brendan, to be honest. And look, they're going to take a lot of beating. I suppose Mal would know more about the Dungiven setup. Like they're going to be difficult to beat as well. But you know, when you look at four in a row at minor level, you know, it's what, one or two Ulster minor titles as well. You know, they're a formidable side, and you know, their style of football as well. Very, very intelligent players. Just watching, you know, they were bringing the ball onto the tackle against Glenn Swally. Glenn Swally liked that. They changed it up. They pulled Conor McCall out, you know, switching plays. You know, it was good to see them play, and very ruthless when it came to it, you know.
They're knocking on the door too. They were very close, of course. You know, they were three up against Niamh Connell in extra time, you remember? And, you know, so they're certainly coming close. And the management, they're talking about different, you know, the likes of, obviously, Barry Dunyan's a manager, Barry Monaghan, Doc's in there, you know, like, again, serious servants, the club all played county, and that they, you know, great influence for the next generation coming through.
Absolutely, like and suppose, you know, Four Masters over the last number of years, you know, it has been common. But before that, you know, they've seen what happened when you're not producing players at underage level. And Donegal is very, very competitive, and it's going to get even more competitive. You know, when you see teams that are coming as well, you know. So look, Four Masters, we keep talking them up, but at underage level they're dominating, Brendan. Yeah, so you know, facts are facts at the end of the day.
That's it. Hey, we need a few spies down in Four Masters, see what's going on there.
Big Woody McBride, we've already down there. Hasn't told us anything yet now, but
somebody said something. No, listen, fair play to them, well done to all. Of course, I'm going to talk to Mal, of course, about Ulster stuff coming up. Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life, it'll be on me soon. Of course, Niamh Columba are playing Carrickmacross. They had a big victory in the final against Killarney by 8 points. And of course, Niamh Connell are going up against Scotstown. And listen, there's some powerhouses in there in Ulster. And Scotstown's a name you see time and time again. You know, difficult proposition. Myself and yourself going down to cover the game, Park. Really looking forward to it. I mean, I'm down. We had no show last week. Then the Monday before, we were down. Great time. And Niamh Connell and a lot of the lads came up to the show and that. We had a brilliant Monday night down there, down in the Thatch. The show, Joe was down here looking after us as well. And I stopped with Connie McMahon on the way back up in Fintown. Huge, you know.
We stopped with Connie last year.
Stopped with Connie for the tea on the way back. We had a great crack. Connie's probably listening in. Connie, hope you're doing all right there, sir, down in Fintown. Yeah, you'll be listening in to us, I'm sure, on Sunday at the game in Clones.
Speaking of a few morning natives, yesterday, just up in the press box, you know, Scotstown or Scotstown, that's what they were saying about it. And Niamh Connell or Niamh Connell, you know, and it's a game I'm really looking forward to. You know, it's where you want to be. And suppose Niamh Connell, as they look at this one, Brendan, you know, they will really, really want to do something in Ulster this year. I think that's something that's sitting there on Martin Regan's target. Look, Scotstown are a serious outfit as well. You know, it's going to be a really, really interesting game.
And you, I suppose you look at it, you know, particularly as we know, Shane Malone, Max Campbell, Finn Barr, you know, this last coming into the side, you know, between last year and this year, the much they propelled this team, you know, the hunger that they have, while certain players now are coming towards the end of their career, there's a lot of rejuvenation coming in. Niamh Connell, of course, a former big Gaelic midfield, and so many plus points for them get into this with the new rules, which a lot of people thought it might affect them. There they are, county champions again. So it's really kind of two fairly much heavyweight sides. Both yeah. looking ended very confident. But maybe Scott's thing, because they're in Clonus, you might probably, they'll probably be slight favourites, but there'll not be much in it for you.
Well, you look at, you touched on two players. Shane Malone, for me, creativity, taking on shots, that score that he got at the end, immense. Max Campbell, different type of player, sneaks in, gets those really, really important scores. Young, only, what, 18 Max is, and she's, is he 20 yet, you know, but you've got Finbar there as well, driving that.
Kevin McGettigan.
And you hit the nail on the head, Kieran Gallard midfield, a powerhouse there yeah. in the championship yeah. this year, it has to be seen.
See, when you look at it, Mark, what happened when you've plenty of space, better player, or not better players, but good players, also, it's going to find the gaps. And if you've got good runners with good engines from deep, they're going to find themselves in pockets. And I think that's what was happening a lot in the games now. So, you know, the players that would have been sitting in a counter deck position now are finding loads of gaps when they break up the pitch. And it's impossible to tie people down.
But the other side of it, Brendan, too, is, you know, which is great to see, they've been encouraged to take a shot on. Like that last opportunity for Shea Malone.
That was some score.
If that was last year, would he took it?
Yeah.
You know, where he
would have left a point in it, so maybe not.
Well, maybe not, but do you know what I mean?
No,
that's not the point. The point is, you know, the creativeness is back fellas like yourself lived off that, you know?
No, and you're right, Park. People are, you can see it, have a go. You got to trust yourself. Back.
Absolutely.
Either. What's the point? Nothing worse than somebody turning back from a shooting opportunity.
No, absolutely not. And it happened yesterday for Kieran Donoghue. They had to be brave when they were taking shots on. You know, and they were kicking against the breeze in the second half as well.
Yes.
You know, I think it was big Donald Doherty kicked one out in the far right hand side into the old dressing rooms end. You know, and I thought that's a really good score. Worked it in, used what he had, his right boot. He was 30 yards out, stuck it over the bar, took a shot on. You know, and that's what you want to see. If you're coaching, that's what you want to see.
Yeah.
You don't want to see him hand pass the ball back waiting for you to
future
come.
Future chairman, coaching, manager, etc.
Not a chance. It would let me hear it.
We'll be back after the break with Michael McMullen. Stay tuned. Right, folks, welcome back to DL Debate. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Michael McMullen. His friends call him Mal. So how are you, Mal?
Not too bad. I thought I was tuned into the Porrick and Brenton coaching kind of stuff going on.
Well, hopefully you weren't taking any notes.
Mal, see, at this time of year, you actually can catch a breath and you actually talk about something that has rapid fire results and what happened there and move on quick.
And Brendan's very Halloween sweet. Outfit.
Huh? My Halloween
outfit. I was wondering when you were going to talk about that.
I we'll avoid it. We'll avoid it for now. Tell me, Mal, first off the bat, Rory Kavanagh. Just did the 1 year, himself and David Hurley were up at your friends there in Glen Mahara, but a bit of a disappointing finish, the semi-final defeat, and just the 1 year. Are you surprised at that, man?
I don't know enough about it to know if I'm surprised or not, but I suppose the biggest talking point is it's probably a wee bit like when Mickey Moran stepped away from Slaneel. It's very difficult to follow the man who was there and achieve so much. So but I met Rory a few times when he was doing training and always a good guy to chat to. So it's a big appointment now for Glenn to fill his boots, because they've got a team there that still won't be far away. Like, somebody did pass comment to me that the Glenn team was on the slide after they lost. I think that's always very knee-jerk, to be honest. But I suppose from a Donegal point of view, it's interesting to know, will Rory come back into management, maybe with unions or somewhere down the lane, because he's a big football man. I'm sure it'll not be long before he's rocking up along a sideline somewhere.
No, definitely not. And listen, he won a championship with unions, and listen, everything that he's done in the game, he's obviously a legend at St Unions. It's there's not that many Donegal managers tend to go out and about. I know obviously Luke Barrett's involved with Loch McGrory. He's gone over and it obviously has had a big impact there, has Luke, and they're getting ready, of course, for their Ulster Championship game as well. So, you know, there's a lot of Tyrone men and coaching in Derry at the minute. That's one thing for sure, Mal.
There is. And funny you say, look, I was at the Tyrone final and I met him on the pitch afterwards and he was so, so emotional. You can see how much it meant. I did an interview with him for Gaelic Life during the year and it's the first time I really met him. He's just an absolute football fanatic. And after the whistle, do you know that emotion that you have after the final whistle? And I know him and Marty Boyle are very friendly. They actually managed against each other with Derry and Donegal Miners. So it just shows you they can bear respect. You know, they can bear respect there outside of county boundaries. So a big involvement for Luke, and I suppose for Derry manager Kieran Meaney, I was especially happy to see him involved there, because it's his home club, and what an achievement. Years and years and years of work and not guaranteed anything, and now they're champions.
So. It's some story, Mel. How long ago were they junior?
I'm not too sure exactly. I know in 98 they got promoted via the league playoffs, I think it was, because they didn't win the championship. And I think Kieran Meaney was on record with somebody saying that they never even got to an intermediate final.
Yeah.
So that's remarkable in itself. And I suppose the other thing that maybe some people won't really fully fathom is that they only had 23 fit players togged out the day of the final. The two guys who were injured were obviously listed in the programme, probably just, you know, for souvenir purposes and all the rest. But and they only used one sub late on. And the level of high-octane running they were doing says an awful lot about their level of conditioning, because I sort of worried about them on two fronts going into that final, Brenton. Number one, they had never walked behind the band before. Trulick had walked behind it, I think, six times in 11 years. And then obviously Trulick at that stage had, you know, they had Richie Donnelly on the bench, who was an unbelievable weapon. But I think whoever has been involved in the S&C, and you know, the crack yourself have been in the unions there, just what goes into winning the championship. The S&C department with Loch McCrory, they've got them in, you know, absolutely top shape. The fact that, you know, the game went right to the, as the old saying goes, right to the wire, and they were left standing. So amazing result.
Hey, the reward now is a nice handy one with Kilcoo. There's an acid test now. But you know what? Well, is there something in that that, you know, there's nearly a buzz about you playing such an iconic team? You know, does that in itself maybe actually give a buzz, you know, that we're on this amazing story nobody thought would happen, and why not?
I think it has to be, like, it was actually their captain, Nathan Kelly, I interviewed down at the press the evening just last week, and he was saying things like he went to watch Kilcoo playing, you know, in games, and now he's going to be trying to curb Paul Devlin or Shailen Johnson or whoever his matchup happens to be. So now he's coming up against them. They will know an awful lot about them. I think what I would say about Loch McCrory is, you talk about the partying that teams do after finals, Brent, that has to be done. I think the biggest challenge for Loch McCrory is the spark. Like, they've spent so long trying to win the O'Neill Cup, which proved very, very difficult to win. And, you know, you've poured everything into that. Then you have to go and start something new, which I think is the challenge. And then obviously the fact that Kilcoo, I think they've won something like 13 out of 14 down championships. So this is definitely not new for them.
And you know what? No more than some teams out there, and I know even, that's not taken away from New Collin, but they look like they were beat a few times. So were Kilcoo and Down, but they seem to find a way, which isn't by accident. But when they come in the Ulster now, you expect a step up, I suppose. And you just, when you mentioned first year, what about Newmarch, Mal? I know you're up at the game. There's a report up on the line on HighlandRadio.com from it. Is this second year thing, is this a big year for them then, in terms of, right, back-to-back Ulsters, it's time to, or back-to-back Derry Championship, it's time to make your mark in Ulster?
I think so. Whenever I talk about teams coming out of their own county, a word I always use, lots of ambition. You know, what's your ambition? You know, like, is it just that you're happy with your lot? And, like, anybody sort of knows Paddy McGrogan, Conor Doherty, them boys that have been knocking around Derry panels, like, they're trying to win an All-Ireland with Derry. So there's ambition there. And the fact that an interesting aside is there's only two players in the Newbridge starting 15 that don't have a brother in the panel. That's how close it is.
Yeah.
It's really, really close. So they have that close, what do you call it, sibling rivalry, they called it. There's a bond there. They're all of the right age. I think this is the right time for them to have a crack at it.
I
definitely believe that. Obviously, Kilcoo will be favourites, Brenton, because they've won on All-Ireland and they've walked the walk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, see that area, because a lot of people might know it. There's nothing actually there, and it's sandwiched in between another three big clubs in terms of its area there. And it's hard to know where all these footballers are coming from. It's as if the pedigree of the man seems so high in Newbridge. You know, it's not the population. I mean, look at Mara Felt over the road compared to Newbridge. You're like, right, how are they doing this?
Well, They're third in the Roll of Honour. They've 12 championships. Ballandrea have now 13, so that may be a target for next year to get level. But so it's not as if they're
the history
a brand new
was
club.
There. Yeah,
they have the history. They have the history. Like Damian Martin was sitting in front of me in the game last weekend, and he captained them to a championship. So it's not as if it's alien to them. And then the thing about it is, and probably what you find with a lot of these clubs is, every time there was a Derry Minor team that was doing well, or a St. Pat's Mahara, or probably more so St. Mary's Maharfelt, there was always a Newbridge player there. So that tells you that over 5 years of five county minors, you know, you've got five players. Really good players, and that's the core. And that's what they've done really, really well. An interesting angle to it, Brenton, is I can't remember the exact number here, so I'm not going to say it, but when they won the championship last year, there was a photograph doing the rounds of an under-16 team that lost a B final. And there was, I'm going to take a rough guess, and I'll probably get this wrong, there was probably eight or nine players in that team that won the championship. Right. So it's not as if they've always been winning like the grade A titles. You know, you chatted about four masters there when I was listening in. So it's probably about the quality that they're bringing through, and they're doing it really well, to be fair to them.
Yeah. And, well, just on Dunloy, I suppose, what was it, 90 years or something?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, and listen, they still give it their all. It was one of them. Listen, whoever's drawn against the Derry teams, it's going to always be tough. But, I mean, they certainly went down with the fight, right?
They were a brilliant side. I was actually surprised by the amount of people who were surprised that they were good, if you know what I mean, because I would have probably watched them from afar on TV and things, and would know the quality they have. And with 10 minutes to go, it was level. It came down to one opportunity where Dunloy overcooked a play and they could have got a goal out of it, albeit the player took eight or nine steps, which would have been a talking point in itself. But that's how close they were, Brenton, 10 minutes to go, one play away from going three up. And as much as they're a new team, I keep saying this, you've probably talking four or five of them had played for Antrim in Division 1 of the National Hurling League. They've won Ulster Championships in hurling, played in Croke Park. Different size of ball, but it's the same mentality.
Yes,
that's probably fed into them as well. So you're probably a wee bit like the Slatneal and the Lochmore Castellaney, where you're used to playing in big games. So it's, you know, there's no stage fright as such.
Yes, yes. Park Helvey's still in studio. Well, there's Park. We get on to Scotstown, Niamh Connell, and I'm interested to get Mal's views. Just looking at it from, you're hearing reports of the championship. Mm. Scotstown just seemed to cast a shadow. You know, like Cuckoo, more or less.
Nah, there's a couple of teams in Ulster every year.
They just look like they're always going to be the team to beat, and they just really dominate. You know, they're such a powerhouse, and that's, as you said, it's an intriguing encounter coming down the tracks for. And you've gone now the month off. Is that a bit of a?
I would say Martin Regan would be happy with the, you know, right. maybe the month off, maybe a couple of weeks, yeah, but. You know, it's been a texting championship for Niamh Connell. Like, you know, they're five games in the bounce there before they got a bit of a break, you know. So it'll be able time to get
there
the bodies.
There should have been no break. Between our quarterfinal or semi, we should have used one of those weeks. I mean, I cannot get my head around this. If you play a pre-quarterfinal, quarter and a semi, there's absolutely no need for this to be. If we have a month then in the Ulster, at least take that week, you know.
There was a few games going to extra time as well in the championship in Donegal this year. So, you know, that was...
The final went to extra time. If it was planned to be extra time, you definitely, you know, more likely there should have been a winner out of that, you know.
I think Niamh Connell, it's a big game. It's a big... It's going to be a tight battle, you know. It's going to be come down to the wire as such, Bren, you know. Look, for me, Niamh Connell need to push on here, you know. They're playing a serious formidable team, but Niamh Connell are a formidable team themselves, you know. So it's a couple of years ago, you know, you would look at the tactical element and how, you know, as Mal has mentioned, you know, football has changed. We're going to see, you know, how it's going to change, as he mentioned about Dunloy there as well, you know. So this is a game.
Teams are never in control of the game anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Like basically, yeah. And Mel, what do you think about that? You know, obviously Niamh Connell had a couple of big scares in Donegal, as Kilcoo we were talking about there. Scotstown seemed to be, you know, nearly like positioning themselves up for an assault on Ulster.
Just on Porrick's point there about the week off, I actually interviewed Martin last week for a Gaelic Life piece, and I says to him, he says, we've got 4 weeks off. And I says, were you tempted to give them 2 weeks off, you know, training? He says, by the Thursday, the boys wanted to go back, you know, a late session. That's the sort of the mentality they had. He also said that they wouldn't have won the championship without Shea Malone. Like that point that you were talking about was unbelievable.
Yes.
Absolutely. Like that's fairy tale. That is, I think Martin did say Roy of the Rovers. So, but on Niamh Connell, I do give them every chance this weekend on a couple of points. They've got the three young bucks, Malone, Max Campbell, and obviously Finbar, who, if there's any justice, he gets young player of the year this Friday. I think it's a cert. But that those three young boys on top of the middle ground that Martin talks about, and then you have the boys who have been there for their eight medals. But I do feel that they'll be very, very tough to beat. Like I've listened to, I must listen to it in Highland this week. I listened to him playing against Gowna, and I could hear Oisin Kelly, you know, on Kevin McGettigan's late goal. I was coming down the road from a game recently there, and it was the Termin game, was it, where Max Campbell scored the goal. Like, they do not know whenever they're beaten, and that is an unbelievable quality to have.
Even against Four Masters as well, you know, they didn't dig it out.
Did Shane Malone score 8 points or something that day, or something ridiculous like that?
Yeah. Listen, it's funny there, you know, players that come through there, we were saying with Porrick, because there's so many players and they've been in so many finals, you know, you need that spark, and you have that youth coming through as well. I'm sure Scott's in because of the pick that they have there and just the pedigree they have. You're naturally going to be producing, and that's why I think a lot of teams at Donegal, and they've got their act together with underage coaching. We were talking about under-21s just previous to you coming on there. Well, so what you're trying to do there is just bring through, as you mentioned, with Newbridge. You know, you have a constant stream where you'll get one or two every year that'll be kind of, and then you'll get a superstar out of it, like the likes of a Finn Barrody.
Scotstown, to be fair to them, have brought in a bit of new blood. A couple of years ago, there was a guy, Tommy Mallon. He played against Derry Miners, and I remember, as the saying goes, I remember the name, as they talk about. He was brilliant. I thought he was their best player that year. And there's a guy, Max Maguire, and they've both broke into the team. Now, a wee bit like Finbar picking up his first medal versus, you know, the likes of Tony picking up his eighth. Scotstown guys picking up 10, whereas some boys picking up their first. So they're probably quite similar in what they're doing. The only thing is Kieran Thompson's now gone versus Ryan O'Toole and Conor McCarthy on their way back. But I have an awful soft spot for the team that's well hard to beat. I just think that stands for something.
That's the dog and dairy man in you.
I wouldn't rule out Niamh Connell winning in Clonus. It's still a big ask, but I would not rule that out, because they were one possession away from beating Glenn, and Glenn went on to win in All-Ireland. That's the level they're at. So yes. Sometime that is going to change, and Sunday could be that day. Like, let's face it, we can't predict in games. Like, we can't. We're hopeless at it. But all I can say is there's every chance Niamh Connell could come out of Clonus with a victory. That would not be a shock. For me, it wouldn't be a shock.
Yeah. As Mal was saying there, you know, there's four lads there now of eight championship medals, which seems absolutely remarkable.
Crazy.
You know, when you look at how hard it is to win championships. Like, so there's the backbone there.
Since 2005, like, it's the span of it as well.
Yes.
Having big roles as well. Brendan McDyer, I thought he was awesome in the final, you know, and Brendan picking up his eighth medal. He was, you know, when the game
great
was
championship
fantastic yeah. championship. When the game was going away in the first opening half, you know, it was Brendan who stepped up. It was, you know, a number of the old guard, Anthony Thompson, you know, just, you know, really driving it forward as well, you know, and sometimes you know, they don't stand out in matches, but it's the runs they make, it's the blocks they make as well, you know. And suppose Martin Regan, looking at his squad as well, you mentioned that lad Shea Malone. I know we're mentioning him a couple of times this evening, but what a player. He's got that flair, Mal, as well. And as you indicated,
the space is there now too, Barry, to operate. You know, you're going to get you're going to get those shots away, and if you're brave enough, as you were saying earlier, They're on. The talented players are coming to the fore more now.
But did it take?
But hey, does Jim go for Shea Malone? I think he has to.
Listen, he's 18 players named there, Park. To
oh, has he?
There
you go.
Yeah.
Did you make the cut, lads?
Just did you not see the picture of Brendan Ferguson around Facebook there?
I heard you were going to make the cut until he spotted that at the shopping centre.
We need a few cups, all right?
We need a cup.
Hey, Mel, huh? We're down the last couple of minutes. Tell me, Mel, take them Boner's appointment. If King scored Aaron Gales, takes up the... the rest of the championships there. Declan Bunner, after his couple of years in Fermanagh, has got the hot seat there. What did you make of that appointment?
Probably a very good appointment, you'd have to say. He's got an awful lot of experience, and more importantly, he knows the county inside out. There won't be a senior footballer in Fermanagh he won't know about. So I'm assuming he's got somebody in his management team that knows intermediate and junior, but.
He's done well everywhere he's went, man. Between
he's got an unbelievable level of success. Like,
yeah, he done well with Gador. He obviously underage Donegal, and then he won a couple of Ulsters. Nearly did the three in a row. Remember the Cavan?
That's
the
right. Yeah.
You know. So listen, he's got a proven track record. He's actually was out in America there. His young boys playing American football. Mm-hmm. We were trying to get him on actually, but he's traveling at the minute, so we'll come on next week. I was interested to know how it went there. So the young lads out doing a bit of kicking out there.
Oh, you're always fishing for the Masters team. You know, this is what he said. Like, yeah,
is that right?
Oh, it was out. Yeah.
No. That's,
Maria got on to the Ulster Masters team, and you know.
She's showing me up now, Mel. She's still winning medals, but no, his lad was out there playing American football, Killian. So I'm interested. I suppose, listen, mostly hear his views on the Fermanagh post. But listen, fair play to him. Listen, he's obviously got that energy for it. He loves the game, and as we all do. So listen, we wish Declan Bunner all the best. We're down to the last 30 seconds. Mel, where are you about this weekend? Will we see you in Clonus, or are you somewhere else?
I've got my Derry colours on, lads. I'm going to Armagh.
Madden. They'll give you a nice welcome.
But here, I'll be listening to Highland, and with you see there'll be a last-minute Niamh Connell bit of something.
And
who knows?
And brilliantly described by the passionate and the brilliant Pádraig Cilfery, he'll be on the mic.
No pressure, lads.
Very little now at this stage.
Not at all. Listen, Mal, a top man as ever. Thanks for the roundup. We'll catch you down the tracks.
Not a bother.
Appreciate it, top man. Pádraig Cilfery, thanks as ever for coming in and giving us your views this evening. And, of course, to Joe Dex. I'll speak to you all next week. The excellent Monday night sessions is coming up, basically.